Clemson season's officially over, NFL Week 3 recap, and playoff baseball is right around the corner. La Valley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the La Valley Sports Talk podcast brought to you by the Sideline Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValle. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. We've got to kick off college football Week 4 recap with Clemson being upset by NC State 27-21. This officially eliminates Clemson from college football playoff contention. And this will be the first time in over 5 years that Clemson won't be in the national championship conversation. This shows how special Trevor Lawrence was. Think about throughout Trevor Lawrence's career at Clemson. Clemson was penciled in right next to Alabama as being the national championship favorite. There was no question in anybody's mind that come January, they and or Alabama were going to be sitting there in the championship game. They went to two. They won one during Trevor Lawrence's time there. And as soon as Lawrence is gone, all of a sudden the team's 2-2 and it's Week 4. And really, they should be 1-3. The teams looked awful. They should not be, by the way. They're ranked 25th in the country. That's a joke. They should not be ranked. They have looked awful all season long. Absolutely awful. I'm not throwing dirt on the organization, or excuse me, not the organization, on the program. Dabo will be just fine. He will retool. The team will be better next season. But the fact that I think the program got a little sloppy. I think Dabo got a little sloppy when you think about it. Trevor Lawrence was so damn great that you didn't have to go get all the five-star players out there to come to your team in order to make your team a contender. Because Trevor Lawrence was able to make up for all the deficiencies that some of those other players had. But now without Lawrence, those deficiencies are coming to light. So, look, again, moving forward, I think Clemson will be okay in the long run, but right now, they're certainly out of contention, which, to put it in a positive spin, is a good thing, really. I mean, now we've got the opportunity to potentially find another team to possibly make it into the playoff picture. I mean, right now, think about it. You've got Penn State's in the conversation. Iowa's in the conversation. Ohio State is teetering. I don't think that they're honestly in the conversation. Michigan's hanging around right now. That would be cool. Notre Dame, who's been in the conversation for the past couple of years, they're still around. I don't think they're going to make it. Frankly, I don't want them to make it because every time Notre Dame makes it into the playoff, they get blown out in the first game. But you have Oregon, who's still sitting there. They're undefeated. Oklahoma's obviously in the conversation, but they've been there before too. Really, the point that I'm making, though, is that we could, aside from Alabama, and then there's Florida in the SEC, and then Georgia in the SEC as well. I mean, so there's plenty of other teams out there that have the potential to make it into the conversation this year. And that's exciting for college football. It makes college football a hell of a lot more interesting than it's been in the past. Speaking of Oklahoma, they squeaked by West Virginia 16-13. Spencer Rattler is 26-36 for 256 yards, one touchdown, one interceptions. The Sooners are 4-0 this season, but it hasn't been easy for them. Oklahoma was supposed to have this incredible offense. Like, coming into the season, everyone was talking about how this Oklahoma offense was just going to blow the doors off of teams. And that really hasn't been the case. I mean, sure, they beat up on lesser-known teams like Tulane and WCU, but they struggled against an unranked Nebraska, and they struggled last weekend against West Virginia. Both of those were back-to-back games. So they beat up on two doormats early this season. Then the last 2 weeks, they've struggled. Spencer Rattler, I'm sorry, for all those people out there who talk about Spencer Rattler as being the best pro prospect in college football, you couldn't be more wrong. Spencer Rattler, by the way, is not going to be good in college. I mean, excuse me, not going to be good in the pros. Jalen Hurts, okay, who I've had my issues with, and we'll touch on Jalen Hurts later in this podcast. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Spencer Rattler. Okay, so just keep that in the back of your mind. So for those out there who are talking about Spencer Rattler as being a true pro prospect, he's not better than Jalen Hurts. He hasn't shown to be better than Jalen Hurts in college. And both Jalen Hurts and Spencer Rattler have had the same head coach, have had the same type of offensive scheme. So again, please keep that in the back of your mind. And why he was a Heisman favorite coming into the season, I have absolutely no clue. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. So again, I talked about Oklahoma a little while ago about being a potential college football playoff contender, and I still think they are. They're easily the best team in the Big 12. And if they go undefeated, they're definitely going to be in the picture. But there's nothing that I've seen so far this season that makes me believe that Oklahoma has any chance of specifically beating a team like Alabama if they do make it to the Final Four. All right, so we've got two games to watch this weekend. The first one is Michigan at Wisconsin, which is a Big Ten matchup. This is the first true test for the 4-0 Wolverines, who have been flying under the radar. No one's talking about Michigan, and frankly, why would you? I mean, let's be real. Jim Harbaugh has been less than stellar as Michigan head coach. I am a big Jim supporter. I have been every single year he's been there. I was hoping he would be someone who could take Michigan to the next level. I loved him as a coach in college. Back in the day, he coached my boy Andrew Luck. He then went to the pros. I rooted for him in San Francisco. And then once he went to Michigan, I was rooting for him too. I mean, I am a big Harbaugh fan. And Michigan is 4-0. If they beat Wisconsin, that's a big step for them. Wisconsin is unranked, but Wisconsin is a tough team. They're a tough out. If they beat Wisconsin and then they make it undefeated to playing Penn State in a few weeks, that's going to be the game, because the winner of that game is going to go on to play in the Big Ten Championship, whether that's against Iowa or that's going to be against Ohio State. I'm not too sure yet. But if Michigan can go undefeated this year, up until the Big Ten Championship game, that's a massive win for that program, especially Jim, who has struggled throughout his tenure there. So we'll see what happens. But this game in particular is going to be a close game. Michigan, Wisconsin, I think it's going to be a three-point game. I'm going to take Michigan because they're favored, but it's going to be close. This, to me, is a game that I think, for the confidence of that program moving forward, Michigan has to have. All right, and the other game to watch is the SEC battle, number 12 Mississippi at number 1 Alabama. This is going to be another test for the Bama defense. Ole Miss is one of the best offenses in football, led by Heisman hopeful junior quarterback Matt Corral. Corral is one of the best quarterbacks in college football that nobody is talking about. He has 997 yards, 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in 3 games this season. This kid is a stud. You guys want to talk about Spencer Rattler? No. Talk about Matt Corral. This kid has the potential to be special in the NFL. I like Bama in this game, by the way. I think they're going to win by at least 7. But watch Matt Corral. That's the reason to watch this game. Alabama's going to win the game. But Matt Corral, no one's talking about him. By the way, Mississippi is coached by Lane Kiffin, so you know that the game's going to be interesting. Whenever Lane Kiffin's on the sidelines against Alabama, it's always an interesting game. But I do believe Bama will win this game by 7. But I'm telling y'all right now, Matt Corral, that's the quarterback to watch in college football this season. NFL Week 3 was a gauntlet. My goodness, there were so many good games this week. NFL Week 4 has got even better games, but NFL Week 3 was tremendous. We're going to kick it off with, in my opinion, the game of the week, which was Rams-Bucks. Rams beat the Bucks 34-24, and frankly, that score does not indicate how badly I feel like the Rams put it on the Bucks. Stafford, 27-38, 343 yards, 4 touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, 9 receptions, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brady was 41-55 for 432 yards, 1 touchdown, and 1 rushing TD. Rams took the lead in the second quarter after a scoreless first quarter, and they never looked back. They completely shut down the Bucs running game. Brady was the leading rusher on the team with 14 yards. Matt Stafford looked incredible in that Rams offense. I cannot express how happy I am for Matt Stafford. Watching Matt Stafford in the Rams offense just excel is probably my favorite thing so far this NFL season. Matt Stafford right now has catapulted himself up into the top 3 or 4 for MVP. I don't think he's gotten ahead of Brady. I would still say Brady is still ahead, just because, I mean, look at what Brady has done. I know he just lost to the Rams, but if you look at Brady's body of work throughout the season so far, you can't take it away from Brady. I don't think yet, but it's close. It's going to be close. But Stafford has just been a revelation. Sean McVay finally has the quarterback he needs. The Rams to me are the best team in football, between that defense and how potent that offense is. And you got to watch. The Cooper Kupp and Stafford chemistry is unreal. And everybody forgot about DeSean Jackson. Like, 90-year-old DeSean Jackson is still out there burning people. Stafford missed on a couple throws to Jackson. Had Jackson caught any of those balls, my goodness, this game would have been a blowout, an absolute blowout. Once Stafford and Jackson get that chemistry and start connecting, my God, the Rams are just going to be insane. They're going to be absolutely insane. Real quick on the Bucs will be fine. They're going to lose 3-4, maybe 5 games this season. They're still going to make the playoffs. They're very likely still going to be in the NFC Championship game. We could see a rematch, Rams-Bucs in the NFC Championship game, which frankly is what everybody would want anyway, right? The two, in my opinion, the two best teams in the NFC facing off. Brady's going to be fine. Not worried about it. Like I said, I still think Brady's in the MVP conversation, if not the favorite to win MVP. Not worried about the Bucs. They do need to work on that defense, though. They're not stopping anybody this year. Last season, and I know it took a little while for the Bucs defense to really turn it on, but that secondary is a problem. They've got to figure out whatever they need to figure out in the secondary. Their front seven is still elite. That no one can run the ball against the Bucs, but everyone can pass on them. It's kind of like the it's not like the Chiefs. Chiefs can't stop anybody, but the Bucs have got to figure out their secondary. I think they'll be fine, though. I think they'll make the adjustments they have to make throughout the season. This just to me, this was more about the Rams and how dominant the Rams can be, more so than an issue for the Buccaneers moving forward. Packers 49ers. Packers beat the 49ers 30-28 on Sunday Night Football. Rodgers was 23 of 33, 261 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo 25 of 40 for 257, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. Rodgers once again proved all the haters and the doubters wrong. He led the Packers down the field with less than 40 seconds left to win the game on a field goal. So again, all you people out there, all you conspiracy nuts, go away. Go away. Aaron Rodgers did what Aaron Rodgers does. By the way, for all the people out there too who are saying that the fans were going to turn on Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers has pretty much said, I want out of Green Bay. Yeah, why don't you remind the fans that next time? He marches down the field in two throws to help that team win a football game against a really good 49ers team. Remind those fans again how they should start booing Aaron Rodgers. All right, so that narrative needs to go bye-bye too. All right, look, again, I am not a fan of the Rodgers shtick that he's had this season, but you cannot take away his greatness on the field, okay? You just can't. You can't take away how fucking good this guy is almost every single game. Yes, he had the hiccup in week one. Clearly, week one was an anomaly. He wasn't, for whatever reason, he just wasn't mentally there in week one. I'm not excusing it. It was inexcusable. I said it was inexcusable at the time. But for the last 2 weeks, Aaron Rodgers has dominated both teams that he has played. He has hit clutch throw after clutch throw after clutch throw, and he did what he does. The guy had 38 seconds to march down the field and win the football game. What did he do? He marched down the field with no timeouts and 38 seconds to win the football game. So, I mean, I don't know what more you people need out there. You can hate Aaron Rodgers all you want, but you cannot take away how great he is. Moving on. Jimmy Garoppolo, again, another guy that gets all this hate. Jimmy G, did lead the 49ers down the field for what should have been a game-winning drive. He marched that team down the field, scored a touchdown for what should have been a game-winning drive had Aaron Rodgers not been Aaron Rodgers. If he was facing probably any other quarterback except maybe Tom Brady and possibly Pat Mahomes, that game would have been over. So for all the Jimmy G hate, for all the people out there who are saying Jimmy G sucks, he needs to go, the 49ers can't win with Jimmy G, you guys are kind of picking and choosing your spots here. Because Garoppolo is not as bad as everybody wants to say he is. Now look, I was happy the 49ers took Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance is the best quarterback in this draft aside from Trevor Lawrence. I'm not upset if and when Kyle Shanahan decides to go for Trey Lance. But I don't think this is the season to do it. Look at all the other rookie quarterbacks out there that are getting slaughtered through 3 weeks this season. This is just not, none of these quarterbacks seem to be mentally or physically prepared for the NFL. I love what Shanahan is doing. He's creating packages for Trey Lance to come into the game, do a QB sneak, do whatever special play he has set for Trey Lance to kind of just get his feet wet a little bit here and there. And I'm sure as the season progresses, he'll put more packages into each game. So come next season, maybe Trey Lance is your starter and they move on from Jimmy G. But moving on from Jimmy G right now makes absolutely no sense. The 49ers are going to be fine. Jimmy G is not the reason the 49ers lost this game. So all of you Jimmy G haters out there, y'all need to take a seat as well. Chargers Chiefs. This was the second best game. Actually, I think this was the best game of the weekend. The Rams Bucks was the game of the week just because of the fact that it was the first game in LA with the Rams at home, with Brady playing in Los Angeles. Like that was the title card. But Chargers Chiefs was by far the best game from start to finish. Justin Herbert, 26 of 38, 281 yards, 4 touchdowns. Mike Williams, 7 receptions, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mike Williams is a beast. Pat Mahomes, 27 of 44, 260 yards, 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions for the second week in a row. Pat Mahomes has cost his team a game. Second week in a row, Pat Mahomes cost his team with a bad interception late. Mahomes has played terrible most of that football game. His first interception came off of a careless showboating no-look pass. There was no reason whatsoever to do a no-look pass. The player was wide open, wide open. And that was a, hey, look at me, look at me. I'm going to try to do the SportsCenter highlight throw and did this stupid-ass no-look pass, which was a terrible throw, got picked. And then his second interception was a really, really bad throw on third and long that he completely overthrew Travis Kelce by like 10 yards. And that was a pick. And that cost the Chiefs that game. It's okay to criticize Pat Mahomes, y'all. You're allowed to do it because he hasn't been good this season. He just hasn't. He hasn't been good. The Chiefs should be 0-3. They should be 0-3. Had the Browns not blown that football game, the Chiefs would be 0-3 right now. And that Chiefs defense sucks. They just suck. It is going to be a real problem if it's not addressed. All you guys out there can say, oh, no, it'll be fine. Pat Mahomes is so great. It doesn't matter. No, it does matter. It does matter because when you play a team like the Chargers, who has, for my money, the best quarterback in football right now. Yes, that's right. Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in football right now, today. Today, Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in football. If you play a team like that, you play a team like the Rams in the Super Bowl, you even play the Bucks, and you can't make a stop on defense, I don't give a shit how confident you are in Pat Mahomes. You're not going to win that football game. You're not. I'm sorry. It's going to come down to who has the ball last and who can understand clock management best. And we all know that Andy Reid fails constantly when it comes to clock management. He failed at it in Philly. He still fails at it in Kansas City. He's never been able to understand clock management. Therefore, Chiefs are in trouble if they don't address that defense. Moving back on to the best quarterback in football right now, Justin Herbert. He was a revelation in this football game. He made clutch throw after clutch throw after clutch throw. Herbert will go down. I am calling it today. Today, Herbert will go down as the better quarterback between he and Mahomes. The sports media won't admit that because Mahomes has been the favorite son to them. And for all you people out there who are like, oh, I'm turning this podcast off. This is ridiculous. Think about it this way, okay? When Mahomes came into the league in his second year, I consider it his rookie season because he barely played his rookie year. When he came into the league midway through that year, people were talking about how Mahomes was better than Aaron Rodgers. And I was somebody who sat back and said, shut up, y'all are stupid. Y'all are stupid. And there are a lot of other people out there who are like, you guys are stupid. Let's let this marinate first. And it turned out to be right. Mahomes has eclipsed Rodgers as being the best quarterback in football. So for all you people out there who are going, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're crazy, you can't say that. Well, why not? Why can't I say that? Y'all were able to say it about Mahomes. Why can't I say that about Herbert? It's the same thing. I'm telling you, Justin Herbert is going to go down as the better quarterback than Pat Mahomes. The difference between the two right now, and really the only difference between the two, is that Mahomes has a little bit better skill players on his team than Herbert has on the Chargers. Don't get me wrong, though. The Chargers are not lacking in skill players. They have some pretty damn elite receivers and running backs. They're just not on the same level as Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is arguably, as Matt says, the best pass catcher he's ever seen in Travis Kelce, which I think is pretty damn close to being accurate. And he has the fastest player we've ever seen at wide receiver, aside from maybe DeSean Jackson, but Hill is a better receiver than Jackson could ever dream of being. So he has two of the best receivers we've ever seen in football. That, you know, so just keep that in mind. But as a passer, as a player of the quarterback position, I'm telling you right now, Justin Herbert's going to go down as a better quarterback than Pat Mahomes. But here's the thing with Mahomes that is just kind of annoying. All right, this is kind of like the LeBron James thing. I'm not comparing LeBron to Mahomes. I love Mahomes 10 times more than I'll ever love LeBron James. The media is so dug into Mahomes, and they're so dug into the narrative that he's going to be the greatest of all time, or he already is the greatest of all time, that they won't actually admit that Herbert is better, even if Herbert is better. And if you don't believe me, listen back to the commentary, the sycophantic commentary with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo during that football game. This is the first time I've ever wanted to mute Tony Romo in a football game. Every time Justin Herbert would do something special, Romo would obviously celebrate it like he does, but he would immediately have to pull back and be like, oh, well, you know, you're still Pat Mahomes on the other side there. You know, you can never be too confident now because, you know, as great as Herbert is, there's still Mahomes. It's like, shut up. You don't need to keep bringing up Pat Mahomes. We all know who's on the other sideline. Give Justin Herbert his due. Give Justin Herbert his due. He outplayed Pat Mahomes in that football game. Not only did he outplay Pat Mahomes, he outplayed Pat Mahomes in Pat Mahomes' house. They did this on the road. So give him the credit. They won't do it, though. The media won't do it because you can't. They can't. They are so dug in on Pat Mahomes being the best quarterback ever that they just won't admit the fact that Pat Mahomes got completely outplayed throughout that football game by another quarterback, by a younger quarterback, by somebody who, I'm telling you right now, is going to go down as the better quarterback between the two. The good part, the best part, though, the best part about the fact that the Chargers won this football game is we now have a rivalry. We now have a new rivalry. This could be the new Brady Manning. I'm calling it right now. I said it a few years ago about the Romo and Wentz thing. I couldn't have been more wrong about that. But I think right here, right now, the Mahomes-Herbert thing could be the new Brady Manning, and that's exciting. Cowboys-Eagles, Monday Night Football game. This is the last big recap, and then I got a couple other news and notes I want to talk about. The Cowboys decimated the Eagles, 41-21. Prescott, 21-26, 283, 3 touchdowns. Elliott, 17 carries, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, 25-39 for 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. This game was never in doubt. Okay, this game was an annihilation. The Cowboys owned every aspect of this football game over the Eagles. The Cowboys showed just how prolific their offense can be. They have weapons everywhere. I mean, this offense is stupid stacked. I mean, it's like a freaking all-star team out there. I can't get over how terrible the Eagles looked in this football game. This is not to take away anything from the Cowboys. All right, because the Cowboys' offense is elite. If the Cowboys' defense can play the way that they've played the last couple weeks, the Cowboys are going to not only make the playoffs, they're going to make a run in the playoffs. Now, I don't think they're better than the Rams. I don't think they're better than the Bucs. But they could beat the Packers in a playoff game. They could beat the Vikings if the Vikings make a playoff game. I think the only two teams that I wouldn't put them against, like, they could beat the 49ers. I mean, this Cowboys team is actually pretty damn good. As long as their defense is not historically bad, Cowboys can make a run in the playoffs. I don't think they'd make it to a Super Bowl, but they could make a run. The Eagles are simply not a good football team. They're not. They have too many holes in their secondary. Their play calling made no sense. You run the ball twice? What the hell are you doing running the ball twice? Sanders had 2 carries for 27 yards. That's 13.5 yards per carry that he averaged. Every time he touched the football, he did something special with it, but you only gave it to him twice. It makes absolutely no sense. And Jalen Hurts is not a viable starter in this league, folks. Okay, are we finally done with the Jalen Hurts is a revelation? Oh my God, look at how great he was in week 1 against a trash Falcons team. Because he's looked like crap the last 2 weeks against San Francisco and this week against Dallas. The majority of his stats, don't give me his stats. Do not give me his stats. If you watch that football game, Jalen Hurts was irrelevant in the first half of that game. He couldn't do anything right. His stats were garbage time stats. He racked up his stats in the second half when the game was out of reach. When the game was done, that was when Jalen Hurts started passing the ball over the place, mainly because the Cowboys were in a freaking prevent defense. They didn't care. They didn't care anymore. They stopped caring. And my last note of this game, Mike McCarthy is damn lucky that the Eagles didn't decide to go after Dak Prescott in the second half. Dak Prescott should not have played at all in the fourth quarter. When that game was out of reach, McCarthy should have pulled Prescott. This obsession with constantly playing Prescott this season, it's like you guys are trying to like test fate here. The guy's still coming off from an injury. This game was out of reach. I mean, technically, this game was done at halftime. But I could understand playing him in the third quarter. But come the fourth quarter, there was no reason for Dak Prescott to be on that football field. I'm telling you right now, Mike McCarthy's got to go. And the only issue with the Cowboys being good and the Cowboys making the playoffs this year is that Mike McCarthy's going to get another season as head coach. All right, other news and notes real quick. Raiders are 3-0. They beat Miami 31-28. Carr continues to impress. He's now thrown for 1,203 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks on the season. He's third in my MVP voting behind Stafford and Brady. So he's top 3. Josh Allen is back in the MVP conversation as well, as his Bills annihilated the Washington football team 43-21. Second week in a row where the Bills offense looked absolutely dominant. They're the best team in the AFC. Aside from the Steelers week 1 game, they have looked incredible the other 2 games. And like many other week 1 matchups, I just count that up to a fluke. Allen, 358 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 rushing TD in this game. Again, Bills to me are easily the best team in the AFC. Justin Fields was an absolute train wreck in his rookie debut. 6-20 for 68 yards, 0 touchdowns. He was sacked 9 times. He did nothing to elicit any confidence that he's the answer for Chicago. Y'all can say what you want about Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy should be fired today. Today, Matt Nagy should not have a job. But with that being said, and I heard Ryan Russillo talk about this on his podcast too, maybe Matt Nagy was right about Justin Fields. Maybe he was right about not starting Justin Fields. When he said that he was going to go with Andy Dalton, perhaps, he saw something in practice with Justin Fields throughout training camp that he said, you know what, this kid might be special, but he's not ready yet. And Justin Fields did not look ready. Look, I listened to Dan Orlovsky, who I love, and I listened to other people talk about how Matt Nagy should be fired immediately. He did not put his quarterback in the best position to win the game. True. He's sucked with Mitch Trubisky, and now he's potentially going to suck with Justin Fields. But it's funny, though. All you people out there defending Justin Fields and being like, oh, my God, he didn't put Justin Fields in the best position to win. Where were you guys for the last 3 years when Mitch Trubisky was constantly getting killed out there? And nobody defended Mitch Trubisky. It was, well, the Bears suck because Mitch Trubisky is their quarterback. Not Matt Nagy is not putting him in the best position to win games. But with Justin Fields, everyone's running to his defense. Oh my God, well, it's not Justin Fields not being ready to play the quarterback position. It's, well, Matt Nagy's not putting him in the best position. Perhaps it could be a little bit of both. Remember, 2 things can be true at once, everybody. Perhaps Matt Nagy sucks as a head coach, okay? And also, Justin Fields is not ready to be an NFL quarterback yet, which, guess what? I'm raising my hand here. I told you all that. He's an Ohio State quarterback. They do not translate well into the NFL. They never have. Justin Fields is not going to be a good NFL pro. I'm telling you right now, I don't give a shit who his head coach is. Unless possibly he gets Bill Belichick or Andy Reid, maybe Sean Payton. But outside of that, he doesn't have a shot in this league. I'm sorry. He's not going to be a good quarterback. The Bears are in trouble, by the way. That team is garbage. That just overall, that team sucks. Moving on real quick, Patriots and Mac Jones, they struggled mightily against the Saints, 28-13 in a loss at home. Saints played great defense throughout. Jones never looked comfortable. He threw 3 interceptions. The Patriots are still struggling on offense, and that's an area of real concern for this team moving forward. Mac Jones, I like Mac Jones now. All of a sudden, I'm now a Mac Jones fan, mainly because everybody is crushing Mac Jones, and I don't like the fact that they're crushing him. This game was not on Mac Jones. It's not on Mac Jones. Okay, you cannot blame Mac Jones for the offensive play calling that we've seen this season. The offensive play calling in New England has been remarkably terrible. Josh McDaniels, it starts making me question, is Josh McDaniels really a great offensive coordinator, or was that all Tom Brady? What was it? Because what they're doing with Mac Jones makes no sense. Let the kid throw the football. Stop dinking and dunking. You drafted him in the first round. Let the kid see what he can do. Let him be Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, y'all, is going to be fine. I know he's racking up 1,000 interceptions this season. Who the hell cares? He's throwing the football. He's getting a feel for the NFL. You got to let the quarterbacks get a feel for the NFL. No quarterback, no rookie quarterback should be expected to take their team to the playoffs and win. All right, that's unrealistic. If you had those expectations for Mac Jones, or you had those expectations for anybody, for Trevor Lawrence, for anybody, you're an idiot. Okay? No rookie quarterback should be expected to come in. The only one who's ever done that, by the way, the only rookie, and that is because he was the best prospects we ever saw since John Elway, was Andrew Luck. He is the only rookie quarterback to ever come into a shitty situation in a with a shitty team the year prior and take them to the playoffs. That's it. That's the list. Andrew Luck over the last like 20 years. That's your list. So if you expected Mac Jones or anybody else to come in and be a revelation at quarterback, you either you don't know your history, or you just don't like you just don't watch football. I don't know what else to say to you. Mac Jones is not the problem in New England. Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick need to figure that shit out. They do. And by figure it out, I mean let the kid learn. You're not helping yourself by holding any rookie quarterback back from making mistakes. You have to let them make the mistakes. That's how they learn. Now, if they're, you know, Jameis Winston-style mistakes where he's just, you know, year after year after year throwing the ball 30 times to the other team or having 30 interceptions every single year, well, that's a different story. But in his rookie year, yeah, he's going to make some mistakes. He's probably going to throw more interceptions than touchdowns. And that's okay. That's how they learn. Patriots have to open up that playbook and let that kid throw the damn football. All right, so here we go real quick. Give my point spreads. I was 2-2 last week in week 3. I'm 7-11 overall. Not great, but we're getting a little bit better. First game, Bucks at Patriots. The Patriots are a 5.5-point underdog at home, Tampa Bay. I like Tampa Bay in this game. There's nothing. I think Brady has been geared in for this game more so than I think any game aside from the Super Bowl. This is going to be like his mini Super Bowl. He wants to go into New England. He wants to annihilate the Patriots, and I think he's going to do just that. I think this game will be a 10-point game, easy, maybe even more. Win by the Bucs. I do. I like the Buccaneers here big, so I would definitely take the Bucs as the favorite in this game. Raiders at Chargers. This game's going to be really good. I mean, I'm actually excited for this football game. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Right now, they've got, at least this early, they have the Raiders as a 3.5-point underdog on the road against the Chargers. I'm taking the Chargers to win this football game, but I would take the Raiders here on the betting line. I think this game is a 3-point game. It might even be less than that. It could be a 2-point game or 1-point game. It's going to be a close game. And I would take the Raiders plus the 3.5, although I do think the Chargers win the football game. I think the Chargers, they have the better quarterback. The Chargers are the better football team, in my opinion. But that's not discounting the Raiders whatsoever, because the Raiders have been tremendous. They're 3-0. I love Carr. I love what Gruden's done. That defense looks a lot better than I thought they would ever be. But again, I would take the Raiders with the points, but I think the Chargers do end up winning the football game. The Ravens at the Broncos. The Broncos are a 1.5-point favorite at home with the Ravens. I like the Ravens here. Take the Ravens. The Ravens, to me, look, I know a lot of people like the Broncos. I'm still not sold. I know they're 3-0, but the combined wins of the teams that they've beaten are 0-9. I think the Ravens are a better football team. Lamar Jackson has played really well this season. He's not exactly in MVP conversation, but he still played well enough to help the Ravens win the last few weeks. Again, I like the Ravens here. Finally, last game, Panthers at the Cowboys. This game is going to be fun. All right. The only thing that sucks, in my opinion, about this game is that the Carolina Panthers don't have Christian McCaffrey. If the Carolina Panthers had Christian McCaffrey, I may have taken the Panthers in this game. Dallas is at home. Again, there's no McCaffrey. This is the first big game for the first big game for Sam Darnold. He's playing a really good football team. This will be interesting to see how good Darnold's going to be the remainder of the season. I know they're 3-0. I am rooting for Sam Darnold to make the playoffs. Now that Atlanta is out, that opens a huge door for Carolina to be that other wild card team. I think the Panthers will keep the game relatively close, but I just like the Cowboys outright here. I think the Cowboys will potentially win by a touchdown. Again, what we saw last week against the Eagles. I know the Eagles aren't a good football team because they're not. They won't win more than four games this year, but that offense is just, it's too good. It's too good. Carolina does not have the same type of offensive output that the Cowboys do. I do. I just like the Cowboys here outright. So again, to recap really, really quickly, I've got the Bucks. Take the Bucks. Take the Raiders, although the Chargers will win the football game. Take the Ravens and take the Cowboys to win outright. Those are your picks for week four. So I, like many other people in this country, a few years ago decided that I was no longer going to pay for cable and I was going to get on the live TV streaming bandwagon, mainly to cut cost. Now, nowadays, though, I mean, you're pretty much paying the same thing for what you pay for all the streaming, the various streaming networks combined is pretty much what you used to pay for cable. But that's besides the point. We decided to go with Hulu Live. I think we went with somebody else first and we didn't like it, so we ended up with Hulu Live. And for the most part, Hulu Live has been pretty good. Now, I want to caveat this by saying the only reason why I pay for live TV is so I can watch sports. That is the only reason. My wife and I do not watch. We're not appointment viewing television people. Like, we don't sit down to watch This Is Us when it plays at 8 or 9 o'clock on whatever night This Is Us is on. Or, you know, I think really the only show that we, the only two things we watch is we'll watch like the 6 o'clock news, or we'll listen to the 6 o'clock news while we're making dinner. And occasionally we'll still sit down when it's on and we'll watch Jeopardy. That's about it. That's our appointment viewing. Outside of that, the only reason why I'm paying for live TV is so I can watch football. Football, I can watch the Masters, you know, I can watch my baseball, that kind of stuff. And I've said this before, by the way, if these networks were smart, they would make just a solo sports streaming package. And they would make a killing if they did that. And I understand that they're all competing networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, they're all competing for their own rights and all that crap. And I get that, I do. But they would make a killing if they did that. If they just created a purely sports package that you're paying for just live streaming for the specific time frames of the games, that they would make so much money. And I would pay for that in a heartbeat. Because like I said, we really don't watch live TV. All the other stuff we watch, all the TV shows we watch are on, whether it's Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever, HBO Max. Like, that's pretty much what we watch. We watch miniseries. I mean, that's what everybody does now, right? Anyway, now I'm off my diatribe. Went down the wrong rabbit hole. Bringing it back. So again, the whole reason why I'm paying for live TV streaming is so I can watch my football. So Sunday, Bucks-Rams, about midway through the game. So we're talking, I don't know, a couple minutes into the third quarter. All of a sudden, a blue screen comes up in the middle of the game, and it's a Hulu thing saying, hey, we're having trouble broadcasting this game, or we're having trouble with this channel at the moment. You know, we're fixing the issue. We're sorry for the inconvenience. Now, I've seen that screen before. I think in the 3 years or 2.5 years that we've been using Hulu, I think it's come up one or two other times from watching different stuff, like whether it's HGTV or the Food Network, whatever it may be. It's popped up. And usually the way it works is you change the channel, you flip it right back, and it's fine. It's just like, you know, it's a bug in the system, not a big deal. So that's what I did. Switch the channel, bring it back, put it back on to Fox, my local Fox station, and it still has that up. And I'm like, huh, all right, well, maybe this will be a couple minutes, no big deal. Went up, did some stuff, came back, sat back down, put the channel back on, still not working. Make a long story short, that channel didn't work for almost an hour. Fortunately, my friends were smart enough to remind me that you can just stream it on the Yahoo Fantasy app. I mean, not the Yahoo Fantasy app, but just the Yahoo Sports app. You can watch live football, which was my saving grace. I was then watching the game there. Once it finally came back, so like I said, this stupid screen thing was on for over an hour. Once the station finally worked again, all of a sudden my local Fox station was no longer playing that football game, even though the game was only into the fourth quarter. like early into the fourth quarter, it was playing rugby. Yeah, rugby. So all of a sudden, my Fox station went from showing me the football game, which is what it's supposed to be doing, to all of a sudden they decided to change the programming and put rugby on. I don't even think it was a live game. That was the other thing. What the hell? Now, I've been having issues with Hulu, specifically on football Sundays, since this football season started. And it's not, it hasn't just been Fox. It's been CBS too, where the game will go midway through a game and all of a sudden my screen starts buffering. And I've never seen that particular screen that I talked about, that green screen that or blue screen that comes up that says, hey, we're having network issues. But it's actually buffered and then all of a sudden my screen's gone to black and I've had to change the channel and then put the channel back on and then it's working again. But it's happened multiple times during the same game all three Sundays this year. And here's the deal, Hulu. And again, this isn't a nationally, celebrated podcast. I'm not Ryan Russillo or Bill Simmons or anybody like that. Joe Rogan. I understand that. I have a limited reach. But if you have Hulu and you're having the same issues, please let me know. Because if that's the case, if Hulu just sucks at this, then I'll go to YouTube TV. I'll go somewhere else. I'll give someone else my money. Because this is ridiculous. The whole point of me paying the money that I'm paying for streaming is so I can watch my football and I can watch my baseball and all my other sports that I want to watch. If y'all can't do the basic job of properly streaming us the content that we want to watch, then why am I giving you my 70, 80, 90, whatever the hell I'm paying? I don't even know what the hell I'm paying at this point, a month. Not to mention the fact that you completely screwed us over. You bragged about how you got the NFL Network. We get the NFL Network, only the funny thing is that on NFL Sundays, you don't give us Red Zone. They did this week. They gave us like a quote-unquote free trial of being able to watch Red Zone. But the whole point of you getting the NFL Network was so this way we would be able to have Red Zone. But now you're claiming that we have to pay extra money. We can have the NFL Network and we can use the NFL Network library, which is cool because it's got all the previous NFL games of the week, which is all the previous Super Bowl documentaries. That's cool. But again, the excitement of getting the NFL Network is supposed to mean that you get Red Zone. The NFL Network now really doesn't mean anything because the Thursday night games, which used to be solely on NFL Network, now stream on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, you don't need NFL Network anymore to watch the Thursday night football games. So all I can say at this point is Hulu, get your shit together or you're going to lose at least one customer and possibly more. Like I said, if you all out there are having issues, send me a message on Twitter at LaValleyCH. Let me know. Because if this is a commonality with Hulu, I'm out. I'll jump to YouTube TV or I'll go to Fubo TV or I'll go somewhere else. Like I said, I'm only using this for live sports. And if you can't give me what I want, you're not serving my purposes. I'll find someone else who can actually do what I'm paying them to do. We're coming up on my second favorite part or time of the sports calendar. My favorite is about midway through April. You've got March Madness, the Masters, baseball season has just started. We're heading into the NBA playoffs. The only thing missing at that point in time in the year is some NFL action. This time of year, though, is the second best, and here's why. You're in the middle of college football season. You're in the middle of the NFL season. And now you got Major League Baseball playoffs. And you have the NBA season right around the corner. I mean, as close as we are to Major League Baseball playoffs, you're a spitting distance away from the start of the NBA season. This is an exciting time in sports. But Major League Baseball playoffs, there's something very nostalgic for it, at least for me. And I talked about a little bit about it last week when I was talking about Jeter and with the watching the Yankees postseason all those years. So I do get nostalgic around this time because this was the time that I celebrated the most as a kid, right? Because my team was always winning. Even though my team's not always winning now, and I don't think they're going to be very successful, even if they make it into the postseason this year, I still love the baseball playoffs. There's something magical about postseason baseball. And I've never really been able to put it into words, and I still can't. To me, it's kind of like the magic during, as far as I'm concerned, during the Christmas season. There's just magic in the air. There's something very special to me during Christmas time. Everybody just seems to be happier, to be much more giving, much kinder to each other, even if it's for a week and a half to 2 weeks, during that Christmas to New Year's time frame. It's just a very magical time. I've always loved that time of year. Outside of sports, that is my favorite time of year, is Christmas time. Baseball playoffs, to me, have that similar magic. There's just something about it. And while baseball, I know baseball isn't America's pastime anymore, it becomes America's pastime again because everybody is glued into it. People may not talk about it as much, and baseball doesn't rate the same way as the NFL or college football, but it is still something that people talk about. And why wouldn't you? There's always the opportunity for that special upset to happen. Think a few years ago when the Nationals were upset by the St. Louis Cardinals. Everyone thought the Nationals were going to the World Series and winning it. They had the pitching staff. They had the offensive output. This was back when Bryce Harper was on the team. Everyone believed the Nationals were the team to beat. This was going to be the time for the Nationals. And the St. Louis Cardinals completely upended them. Just absolutely destroyed them in the NLDS. And you couldn't believe it. And maybe that's going to happen this year. Now, I don't want to go into the nitty-gritty of baseball. That's what baseball is all about. And we're going to have our playoff prediction special and all that good stuff. We're going to record it on Monday. It'll be out actually a day early. Usually we release on Wednesday. We're going to release it on Tuesday this week because we didn't do a baseball podcast like we normally do every 2 weeks. We didn't do one this particular week because we wanted to hold off an extra week just so this way we could see everything unfold and give you a full playoff prediction, MVP winners, managers of the year, all that good stuff. So anyway, this baseball postseason, I think, is going to be really, really special because there's a lot of teams that we're seeing entering into the dance that not a lot of us predicted, or at least I can speak for myself. I didn't predict early on in the season that some of the teams that we're seeing enter into October were actually going to be there. So I'm really hyped up for this playoff season. I think it's going to be one of the best that we've seen in a while. And I truly believe that a lot of sports fans are coming around again. And I know I said this a moment ago about how this may not be America's pastime anymore. We all know that that's the NFL. The NFL has been America's pastime for at least the last decade, if not longer. However, if you give it the opportunity and you sit down and you watch some playoff games this year, I really do think you're going to get sucked in to the spectacle that is playoff baseball. And maybe, just maybe, you might actually be able to see the magic that I'm talking about. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the LaValley Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Sideline Network. As always, thank you so much for tuning and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, all that good stuff. And be sure to check out the next episode of Spaceball, which will drop on Tuesday, not Wednesday, Tuesday of next week, where we will break down all of what happened this past baseball season and look forward to the playoffs. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. I hope you all be well. Stay safe. Talk to y'all again soon.